folks have been oohing and aahing over the fabulous queer fashion at the Grammys. From Lil Nas X's fuchsia Versace cowboy bondage getup to Billy Porter's Instashade hat, the men on the red carpet brought the house down boots.
But some aren't liking it, saying that queer men like Billy Porter or Lil Nas X are too thirsty for attention. But isn't causing a commotion the whole point of walking the red carpet?
Today, comedian Rachel Hall joins us to look at the wild fashion on the Grammys red carpet. Rachel just graduated from the conservatory at Second City, which has trained many of the world's funniest people.
Plus, aiming to boost diversity, Mattel launches new Barbie dolls featuring vitiligo and hairless models.
How will Harry and Meghan get on now that they're out of the family business?
And what can the cuddle hormone oxytocin do for you?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Happy birthday to my beautiful husband, Mark Fillion. I love you.
You like that? You like that?
Hey.
Yeah.
Me. You. Our guest today is the sheet-larious comedian, Rachel Hall, who just graduated from Second City here in Chicago.
Yay!
Congratulations.
As we go on. That's it.
Dun, dun, dun.
You graduated from the conservatory. The conservatoire.
The conservatory.
Emphasis on the first syllable.
Conservatory. Conservatory. I did. I finally, after a year and some months.
And for people that aren't familiar with the program, the conservatory is like a series of classes you take to become, you know, Gilda Radner, basically.
On paper, in theory.
Mm-hmm. And so you can do characters now, you can do stand-up, you can write, you can, basically, you're
the
like...
The conservatory is just for improv, though, right?
Yeah, the conservatory is just for improv. I mean, they have a writing program that goes through levels and takes forever, and they have a directing program and blah, 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 the same thing. I went through the improv conservatory.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Is that your Lady Danger? Like it.
Hey, so, are we gonna fuck or what? That's the best line of AJ and the Queen. But so,
did she actually say that in the movie?
I don't know if she says that in the movie.
I think she did when they're in the whole spoiler. Yeah. When they're in the hotel room with the hot Cuban man and he's all upset and jumping on the bed, whatever. And then she's like,
"Yeah, issues.
We can finally cover it with her one eye."
Now, Second City, for people who are not familiar, is a very famous venue and school for comedy here in Chicago that sort of gave the start, the training for most of the best known comedians currently working in the United States.
Yeah. Dead and alive. There's so many people that go through there. The training center is like covered in photos of just, look at all these people you'll never be.
And you know who actually came from Second City that the listeners might be curious to know?
Who's that?
The editor of the third season and on fourth of Cooking with Drag Queens, Talia Pasqua, got her start editing comedy videos at Second City. Yeah. That's why Cooking with Drag Queens is so much better with her involved in it than without her.
Because they do a lot of production work in industrials and making corporate films.
And exactly. And so, you know, their basically ability is to take mountains of garbage, us, and spin it into gold.
Diamonds.
Yes.
But yes, yeah, Second City is like,
but of course I have a little bit to do with it.
From too. Like Catherine O'Hara to Belushi to Farley to Bill
They never
Murray,
let you forget Ada about it.
They don't. Mm-hmm. Aidy Bryant, Colbert, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, like everybody goes through there. Rude. Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Because there was some construction happening next door.
How rude.
Oh, this is the magic of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, which is Billy Porter and Lil Nas X's very conservative, very restricted outfits.
I mean, he could have wore it to the, you know, inauguration ball. It was very classy, very understated.
At this year's Grammys, where Lizzo stole the show with her opening number.
I'm so happy Lizzo got to open the show. I'm sad I missed it, because I was at Surge, actually up the street.
But it's a comedy club, or
no? It's a
A restaurant?
Pool hall.
Okay, you're
hanging out in pool halls.
Yeah.
Didn't your mother warn you about hanging out in pool
halls? No, I've been to a pool hall with my dad.
Oh.
So let's talk about Billy Porter's. So these looks that these two gentlemen are sporting on the red carpet mm-hmm. are getting a lot of anger and frustration from other gay men. Big surprise. On social media, where they're saying, like, Billy Porter and Lil Nas X are trying too hard, or they're pitting one against the other.
Why do people always have to fight? First of all, Lil Nas X has been wearing basically that exact same tacky ass, too many buckles, rhinestones and stuff since he started. Didn't he have on a neon green suit with fringe once? Mm. How is this not on brand?
Because a lot of people are not familiar with either of these gentlemen, you know, and part of it is like, they don't really follow things until they, and that's why, you know, these celebrities put mm-hmm. so much money and effort and energy into one red carpet look.
Yeah.
Because they know it's going to get everybody talking about them. And sometimes in showbiz and entertainment, it's just a numbers game. You want people talking about you. So they're aware of you. So you get cast in things, you get opportunities, you get marketing deals and so on.
But that's what the Grammys are for. Like looking over all of the fashion, quote unquote fashion from the Grammys. That's always how it's been though. The Grammys is usually mm-hmm. where you go and you're not as ridiculous as you might be at the Met Gala, but it's like, I didn't get invited to the Met Gala. I'm showing up in an egg. Mm-hmm. Like that's what the Grammys are for.
So in terms of like award shows or events where celebrities dress outrageously,
yeah.
The number one is the Met Gala.
Yes, of course.
Below it.
What did you say? It's the Oscars?
What, are you talking about dressing like crazy? Or
yeah,
like how,
crazy.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. The craziest is the Met Gala. The Met Gala is always ridiculous. It's always amazing, but it's always ridiculous. Because
emphasis on art, right?
Yeah, the emphasis is on art.
Mm-hmm. Then below that is...
The Grammys.
The Grammys. Then below that is...
Then you start getting more.
The
adult film star awards.
Yes.
That's the probably ABM. Up there. You just show up with, you know, a clear skirt. I saw some video of, at first I was like, what in the white is this? And then, because it was two white women. I was like, of course they were. And then one of them like took her panties. They were in like dresses, like gowns. Mm-hmm. And one of them took her panties off and then gave them to the other girl. Because I guess the other girl was like, my slit's too high. My coop's coming out. And she took her panties off and handed them to the other white woman in a gown. Mm-hmm. And she put them on. They were like, oh, girl, thanks. And then I found out later it was like the adult film awards. So I was like, okay, I guess. But like, who is trading draws? That's nasty. That is fucking gross.
She borrowed somebody else's underwear and put it on.
She had, I guess, her friend or I don't know, took her drawers off and gave them to someone else.
If you saw what some of these women do in some of these films, you wouldn't think that it was as nasty as some of the stuff that they do.
That's disgusting.
I always love Billy Porter's looks. And
yes, Billy Porter, the men at the Grammys. But yeah, no, it would be like the Met Gala and then like the Grammys. And then it starts getting more subdued. Probably mm-hmm. like the Kids' Choice Awards, because that's usually like just real casual for no reason. Mm-hmm. And then you get like the SAG Awards and then the Golden Globes mm-hmm. and then the Oscars.
And like, those are usually people trying to be a little more classy for that.
Yeah, the Oscars is like where you establish you are a fashion icon and you can dress.
So Billy Porter's outfits usually are always challenging people with his expectations of masculinity and femininity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely owes a lot to obviously the ball scene of New York City, but also to drag culture in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Billy Porter's mainstreaming these looks by putting them in such a front and center focus.
Like you like have a to red look carpet. At me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm right here. Well, I think
So just before you jump in, let me tell people. So his outfit was designed by Scott Studenberg.
Oh, okay.
His hat was custom made by Sokol Millinery and a mechanical engineering from Smooth with 2 zeros Tech.
Smooth.
Then the whole look was put together with stylist Sam Rattel, and the cost probably was more than what you make in a year.
Is this designer a drag designer? Because the first thing I thought was like, oh my gosh, this is a drag outfit. This is kicks in the air and jet, like this is with all that fringe and the.
Well, it's also too. It's like, you know, it has a drag aesthetic because it's like it's instant shade, right? It's just like draw the blinds. You're on my nerves.
That was perfect. If me personally, if I was at the Grammys, say for example, if Taylor Swift was performing and I had that hat, I would dramatically just close it so I wouldn't have to watch. I'd just be like, and you don't care if you keep the camera on me or not. Mm-hmm. Everyone can mm-hmm. see this shade happening.
Well, you know the song World Click by Delight?
I don't think so.
Let me play you guys a little bit of it. It samples the mechanical sound of a car window, as if you're like so sophisticated that your limousine window goes up and down. Listen to this. Toa Tay from D-Light sampling a car electric window going up and down.
It. Mm-hmm. It's very, it's Saturday, it's sunny, I need to clean. You open up all the windows so you can air the house out. Do people do that up here in the north?
We do that. Open the windows,
They air the house out. Do people...
It's a common thing in areas where there's a lot of dust and pollen that gets trapped in the house, and the house has to breathe.
Yeah.
So especially in the south, my mother lives in Austin, Texas, and the cedar fever is raging right now. Yeah. And Lady Bunny calls me on the phone and she's like, I think global warming's responsible for the rise in allergens in the South.
It could very well be, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I love how Billy Porter's just become, he's such a fashion icon. And what I think is very interesting is you guys remember Amanda Cohen, who's been on this podcast, and we nominated her to be on the reality TV show What Not to Wear. And they said she was one of the most top 10 most difficult makeovers that they ever had.
Oh.
And she actually went to school with Billy Porter. They were at the same university. They were in different schools, but at the same university. And she's just like, I would see him like walking across campus. I'd talk to him at parties and things like that. And now they're both fashion icons of a different sort.
That's cool.
One for good, one for bad.
What school did they go to? The school of Don't Tell Me What to Wear.
I don't see why anyone is mad at Billy Porter, but I think Billy, there's an expectation with Billy, and in my opinion, this is what I think is going to happen. His next big red carpet, he's just going to show up in a good ass suit, and everyone's going to be like, dead.
What?
Is everyone's going to be like, what?
He's going to be blind and boring.
My God, it is amazing.
Well, that's the thing, the traditional man's suit, it doesn't leave a lot of room for exploration and experimentation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, there was this one guy who had a do-rag at the Grammys.
Oh, he had the turban train. Yeah.
And then the long part of the wrap was like a wedding dress like a train. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which feels heavy. I feel like my head would just be pulling all night. But his suit was, but I did like the idea of the turban thing. John Legend also had a really nice gray suit on, but half of it was longer. Mm-hmm. It would almost look like a suit jacket with a kilt attached to it.
And there was a guy who was really dressed as a train porter. Not Billy. We're not talking about Billy Porter.
Tyler, the Creator.
Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't know this, but he came dressed as a bellhop or whatever in a suitcase. And then in the suitcase was what he wore in his performance. So I was like, okay.
And this is something really exciting that I'm noticing is that in terms of, two black gay men are leading the pack.
Yeah.
But for just African American fashion, for this, pop culture aesthetic of just saying, suits are fine, but we want to really shine. And so we're going to just bring it all.
Now,
And it's really, I think it's very exciting. And it's also sort of showcases and illustrates how far we have to go as gay men to try to embrace and understand that desire for attention, that need for fashion and style, and what those things mean for us and what role they have in our community. And part of it is when I read on social media, Billy Porter's trying too hard. I'm like, what is it you think Billy Porter's job is? What is it that you think, why would you not expect them to dress in a creative, eccentric, outrageous manner?
Yeah, I never understood the whole, this person's trying too hard. You don't know them. Yeah. You have no idea who they are. That's probably
It might be hard for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It might be hard for you.
It's probably hard for them trying too hard to recognize what's happening there. It's too much. It's a way of saying it's too much for me.
And yeah. I say this with a lot of love and kindness and respect. If you have a problem with Billy Porter's way of looking or what he does, that's your problem, not his.
Exactly.
Billy Porter's going to wear whatever he wants to and laugh all the way to the bank. He has a strong fan base. He's getting the gigs. He's cashing the checks. He's showing the people what they want to see.
Yes. And then they're like, overall, the men's fashion, there was some really good ones. Trevor Noah looked very nice, but Trevor Noah always looks very nice.
He's such a cutie, right?
He's so cute. There's what I'm looking at it now. Orville Peck and Diplo. Peck,
yeah.
He had the fringe mask thing on. No, I will say this.
Orville Peck was Diplo's date.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But we don't know if they're really dating. Diplo's kind of like, we don't know what he is.
Right? I will say that whoever this Orville Redenbacher man is,
he's a country singer from Canada, and he always wears that mask. People, we have an idea of who he actually is.
Well, he looks,
but for whatever reason, he's doing like that whole Sia thing, kind of like, I'm going to hide my face.
Okay, well, it's ugly. I didn't like that. I didn't like, but there was, I'm trying to find, oh, the guy with the turban was
Guapad 4000.
Yeah, I don't know who that, I spent a lot of time going, who is that? Harpo, who is that woman? I don't know who these people are. I didn't know how old I had become. But I don't know who 95% of these people are. But I'm trying to find him. There was one guy, Khaled looked amazing. He had like a red suit on with like a blue undershirt. That was really nice. But there was one guy, oh, there he is, Sean Ross, who basically wore a trench coat, I think the underneath was like a turtleneck, and then boots all covered in pearls. Like, this is something that you see at the Met Gala. That is a Met Gala suit.
Mm, that's
I
a good
thought
look.
That was yeah. amazing.
It also reminds me of some type of disease, you know?
Yes. It reminded me of, you know,
smallpox.
You know those bees people, the cabbies put on the back of their seat?
Yeah.
That's what that reminded me of. But I thought he looked amazing, but he's going to get overshadowed because no one knows who he is.
But I think if you guys are listening to this and you want to see it, you can go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/facethefun, and you can see pictures of all the outrageous red carpet looks. We have a whole section called Fashion Off the Rails that celebrates the outrageous fashion. And wonderful things on fashion.
Yeah, I feel like the guys were really going for it fashion wise, and all the women were like, let me just be as classic as possible. Like Ariana Grande looked like one of those Barbies on top of the Barbie cakes.
Yeah.
The big old skirt. And it looked
she looked
fine.
Like a Barbie cake.
She looked actually. Like a quinceanera Barbie cake.
Yeah.
And so it's.
Which we actually made one on Cooking with Drag Queens with James Mansfield.
Nice.
A Beauty and the Beast cake.
Nice.
Mark was the beauty.
Aww.
And the beast in the bedroom.
Yeah. I like all this stuff. I think it's exciting. You know, definitely they want us talking about it. And
they got it.
On the other hand, there's like these weird, this Mexican-American woman and this gay guy who used to have a music career, both of them. And in the waning and the struggle in entertainment, you know, showbiz is a roller coaster. And when you're down on that bottom of the roller coaster, it's stressful. It fucks with your head mm-hmm. and you sometimes snap. And both of these guys have become right wing. You know, people criticize me for using the word fascist, but for describing Trump. But I'm like, you know, go pick up an encyclopedia. I'm sorry, a dictionary, and
those
read.
Are going to get banned in like 2 years.
Read the definition of what a fascist is. And that, you know, describes Trump to me. Fine. So, but so there, anyways, there, one guy, he wrote impeach this on his ass. And
he just had his ass out.
He had his ass out. You want to see
what?
The picture?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I call it fascist fashion because of the alliteration.
Oh, he's the one with the, who is,
that's not a bad ass. I got to tell
who
you.
Who is he? He's the one that came with the red.
He used to be, opening for, Britney Spears actually on tour. And he used to be kind of a West Hollywood music personality. And
never
since
heard of
then
him.
He's, snapped and become a right wing Trump supporter.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do for attention.
And Joy Villa, she...
But to what end?
She wears the skirt that has an aborted fetus on it.
Yeah, she last year she did that too, didn't she? Who, first of all, I will give...
Who's inviting them?
I will personally give $20 to anyone who can sing a Joy Villa song.
I don't know if I have any idea what that is.
Exactly.
I barely even know who she is, except that she shows up at the Grammys in Trump outfits.
I would like to know who invites people to the Grammys.
Well, some right-winger is paying for these people, because obviously it's expensive to go to the Grammys if you're not invited, or can you buy a ticket?
You can buy a ticket to the Grammys, but you just sit in the back, which is, I'm assuming, where she is, and that it's not like that dress looks expensive, because I'm pretty sure she made it at Joanne's the night before. So
it's just a bunch of sequin, right?
So yeah. I'm like, who's paying?
I think it's from sequinqueens.com. And just added,
sequins, you know, or sequin?
Sequinqueens.com, it looks like, right?
Ah, you wish. You and, wish, fish.
And then she had that little, that feather quill in her hair. She made that herself. Mm. Nobody invited her. She made it herself. And she started. Who is she? Who are these? Harpo, who is that woman? Who is it?
I don't know who she is.
You know, part of it is like they're doing this to try to show that not all Americans are rejecting this difficult, challenging, racist. It's even like, it's interesting. If I go out and say Trump is racist, there's going to be people on social media like, that's you, you need to save that comment for the extreme. And I'm like, he's literally aligning himself with, you know, the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
So I don't know sure what you mean. If he's not racist, who is?
I said he was racist to my brother. My brother's like, Donald Trump certainly is not racist. I was just like,
how you know?
What the world do you live in that you don't think Donald Trump isn't racist?
But it's an interesting idea that the idea of accusing someone as racist is like they have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now they're, you know,
it's white fragility is what it is. They can't handle it.
But actual racism, they don't have any problem with.
Because when white people hear the word racist, they, when you call someone racist, I don't understand how it works. They think the R word is the same thing as the N word. Mm. They're like, how dare you call me racist? I have never been that in my life. And they think the word racist is the exact same thing as the word nigger. They do not. Uh-huh. Because they have such a strong belief that they're a good person, that calling them anything other than God's reflection is calling them nigger. It is the worst thing on earth. And it's like, it's not the same thing. You know, it's not the same thing, but you choose to be so goddamn offended from the thing.
I just wonder like what a person who says things like that thinks racism is in the first place.
They think it's lynching. They think it's people getting dragged behind cars. Mm-hmm. They think it's people, they think it's the lunch counter thing. They probably don't even think the lunch counter thing was that big of a deal, but they think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I literally have to have a Klan uniform in my back seat and sleep in a hood and burn crosses on Tuesdays. Yeah. That's what they think it is.
It's not about equal opportunities. It's not about job hiring, about placement in school or any of those kinds of things, you know?
And because they didn't grow up around it and they think, oh, well, my grandma's an amazing person. Why? She would never. It's like, but she would. She was probably at the picnic with all the rest of her white friends. Mm. Like, they just cannot fathom that someone that they know or them themselves could be anything less than the reflection of God.
Mm. And the thing about it is, too, like, you know, if you dig up, like, the definition of fascism, for example, it says the governmental system led by a dictator having complete power, suppressing opposition and criticism, regimenting all industry, commerce, and emphasizing an aggressive nationalism and racism. That, to me, sounds like Trump, you know? I don't know why you would think that that doesn't describe him.
Well, that's because, and there's also the whole thing of, like, always wanting to make an excuse for something that you like and someone else doesn't. So it's like, if I'm sitting there going, Mark, your friend is an asshole, and then you're like, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's not this, blah, 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 blah. It's like, we can disagree. I can think your friend's an asshole. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But it's like everyone wants to make an excuse for it. It's constantly making an excuse, because if they can make an excuse for it, then therefore they're not an asshole. Because I've always said, you are who you hang out with. If you hang out with a bunch of dicks, chances are you're a dick too. So if you love Trump and everyone's sitting there going Trump is racist, then they're thinking because Trump is racist, therefore I must be. Mm. And they are like, I just can't fat. So he's not racist. He's just protecting everyone. He's not this. He's just, helping. Looking out for America first. And it's like, you can understand that you can like someone, but also understand that some of the things that they do are fucking terrible. I love Robert De Niro. I absolutely do. But I'm not going to sit here and say that man is funny because he's not. Like, people need to learn how to be subjective. Just because that's your brother mm-hmm. doesn't mean your brother isn't a sexual. Like, just because it's your dad. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Ivana? Just because that's your daddy doesn't mean your daddy is not a rapist and a sexual abuse. Like, come on. Things can be more than one thing, and people...
Well, especially, like, right now, people are having a hard time, with the passing of Kobe Bryant, because they're like, mm-hmm. he was a great basketball player. He did a lot of great things in his life, but then, of course, there was this idea of, that he sexually assaulted a person.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, I understand that you can grapple with that. And it's like, how do I, because he's like 19 when that happened or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can you care? And it's like, but you still can care. At the end of the day, you can dislike Kobe all mm-hmm. you want. At the end of the day, Vanessa lost a husband and a daughter. There's two children who don't have an older sister and both their parents anymore. Completely, there are families have been wiped out now. Mm. So you can, if you're like, I disagree with Kobe, blah, blah, blah. That's why what on my Facebook the other day, I said, America really needs to have a conversation about redemption and rehabilitation. Because I get it.
Do you feel like Kobe was redeemed?
I think some people have done that, and then a lot of people haven't. Because at the end of the day, none of us really know what happened. Kobe always said he never raped that girl, and he did fess up to, like, maybe there was some sort of sexual assault because they were both out of whatever. But he was acknowledged that there's something to be said about acknowledging your mistakes and then literally growing and trying to rectify them. The difference between like that and a Trump is Trump will never admit that he had a mistake.
Never.
Right. He'll never admit that.
I'm curious to hear what the listeners and Rachel have to say about Alison Morris. She's the MSNBC newscaster who was caught off guard to some degree upon hearing the tragic news of Kobe Bryant's passing. And on the air, she claims she stuttered, combining the names of the Knicks and the Lakers to say Nakers.
When she...
With a K.
Heard a hard G when she said
I heard a hard G, too.
And I said, that's Nakers.
Let's listen to this right now. Maybe sensitive ears might want to skip.
But. She's already said the word twice.
That's a white woman saying
it. The kind of star that was perfectly cast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Kavita, if I could ask you to stay with us, we're going to
go. And her career just ended.
And the guy
I think her career just started.
No, she just she got fired.
Okay, and Fox News is going to pick her up. Fox News likes to connect. Fox News collects white women with blonde hair. And so she's next in the menagerie that is Fox News.
It could be what we call an audio illusion. You know what an optical illusion is?
But
when you see something that isn't there because your eyes are playing tricks on you.
She did
the N and the R's sounds, a G sounds like it's inside.
But she caught it herself, right? She kind of
paused. Yeah. And I get it because I stumble over words all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rachel.
Even for people who do not care about basketball, you know that Kobe Bryant plays for the Lakers. The New York Knicks, what do they have to do with any? The Knicks weren't even playing the Lakers that night. So,
I don't know what's going on. You know, in terms of a broadcast newsroom, it's stressful. It's you're getting things thrown at you at the last minute. You know, I've spoken to millions of people. I've done this podcast mm-hmm. for 15 years. I've never combined words like that to my knowledge.
I probably said some stuff that was weird, and I was just like, that sounded weird. Like, let's re-record that or something like that, right. You know?
But when you're doing it live, is it going to be different?
You know what? There's always, the other thing, though, too, is like, there's a 6-second delay on all that shit, too,
exactly.
Right? And it's kind of just like, I don't know if you could change something like that.
But sometimes the call isn't made. You know, mm-hmm. 6 seconds isn't all a lot of time for a human brain to process what's going on.
But also, here's the thing. Because I do live every Wednesday from the Laugh Factory Chicago Instagram page, and I say lots of stupid shit. I say so much dumb shit. That said, I recognize immediately when I say something dumb. Mm-hmm. She could have very easily fucked up and been and like, apologized. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And then kept going.
Mm-hmm. Well, however, she doesn't know what
she
to
had
say?
To wait until afterwards. And someone was like, girl.
Well, you hear the guy go, uh oh, what?
Someone was like, what? And then she goes, I guarantee you, she said it and then didn't think about it. And then someone mm-hmm. was like, you know, you just said nigger on TV. And then she was like, what? Now I have to come up with some bullshit excuse. And like, when you recognize you say something stupid, you just immediately say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
And you keep going. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she didn't want to disavow it like immediately is cause for concern.
She wrote on Twitter that she says, I unfortunately stuttered on air, combining the names.
That wasn't a stutter, girl.
So please know I did not and I would never use a racist term. I apologize for the confusion this caused.
It didn't cause confusion. I heard.
It just cost you your job.
I just cost you your job. I hope you was saving money. I hope you got some real estate or something somewhere. Or again, she's probably got drafted to Fox News.
And that's the thing about it is like you're saying that it hasn't cost her anything because she'll probably get a gig someplace else. Probably. And you know, and that's part of the injustice that we see. You know, to me, I'm like, I don't really think that much about this issue and almost didn't bring it up. Just because there's so much overt racism in the White House that doesn't get talked about or acknowledged.
I don't understand why people feel like they can't say something to that man. If I got invited to the White House.
Yeah, you
don't put if you don't want me to say anything, don't put a mic near my face.
Well, it's like with Eartha Kitt went to speak at the White House.
I don't care. I'll bring my phone with me and record it. It's not like they check.
You remember, did you hear about the story of Eartha Kitt being invited by Lady Bird Johnson to the White House? And they were trying to talk about beautify America. And Eartha Kitt, when the microphone was turned to her, she said, the youth of this country feel like their lives are not worth a damn. You want to beautify America and the war in Vietnam.
Straight. And that's like.
And she was just like speaking her mind. She went home. Her manager's like, what did you just do? And she was banned.
And then she moved to France.
From performing blacklisted, Eartha listed. In the United States for over a decade, and she had to move overseas because of that.
But it's like, I don't understand why people are so afraid to say something in front of the damn camera. Again.
Because of the consequences and the history of the way African... Do you want to move to Paris, France?
Yes.
We should end all wars.
Yes.
That's the thing, the world we live in now, that and people say that things aren't getting better, but it's like, you know, for an actor or performer to speak out against a war in the 1970s meant they had to move overseas.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people kind of expect you
I feel like the only people who do that or say something are actors at award shows because it's an award show and they know millions of people are watching.
Yeah.
I think so. There's too many people who care on camera because they need a like and they need a share. Mm. And that's fine. But if you're going to care on camera, if you get the right avenue, then you say exactly what it is. I will say this. Y'all know, again, Robert De Niro will say anything. He will flat out say, he hasn't said, I desperately want someone to just be on camera with Trump and just be like, why are you such a bitch? Like, I really desperately want that to happen.
Well, I think a lot of people are afraid of like what the repercussions of something like that might be.
What are they?
Well, he's got, you know, I think what is the approval rating of about 30% or something? Those 30% of people are just really terrible people, and you just never know what kind
of. Most of those people are keyboard warriors, clans, and they ain't gonna do shit in front of you.
There was a recent poll asking people who answer their phones, which swing to be conservative. Should Trump be impeached? Mm-hmm. 49% of those people in that poll said no. And at this point, I'm kind of like, what's it going to take?
Well, he's not going to get the trial isn't going to do shit. So I don't, whatever. It's like, what does it take? But it's what it takes is a virus to knock out everybody in government. Just kill them all. Don't kill them all, but they all need to be fired. They all need to be fired. The fact that, I get it. You like him. You know, this is a whole power struggle and whatever, but people need to realize that these senators are more scared of the people who voted for them than anything else. And they're so desperate to hold on to some sort of power for themselves that people don't realize that they don't give a shit about you or what your opinions are, or they can sit up here and do all these speeches about what's good and I believe in this and I believe in that. But it's like, no, you don't.
Let's move on talking about the Barbie dolls. Now, Barbie has made news in the recent years by bringing out some
Barbies
of all shapes and sizes and colors and flavors, the thick and juicy ones, the short and the tall, skinny ones. And I mean, the tall, skinny ones have always been around. Now they're bringing all different shapes and shades, hair textures, colors, nationalities. And most recently, they're making the news again, releasing vitiligo. Sorry about that. And hairless models. And models with amputated legs and wheelchairs. I'm sorry. It just looks like Barbie had a rough week. I look at this and it's like, it looks like Barbie's been through some shit.
It also looks like Mattel just needed a way to charge you an extra $5 for Barbie.
But Mark and I went to like toy stores to try to find even just the thick and juicy Barbies, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen those. Aren't those just dolls?
And they're nowhere to be found. Like, you go to the toy stores, it's just business as usual. These Barbies, you have to go to like specialized stores to get them, you know?
For real, because I have two nieces and they never played with Barbie. I didn't know people.
Ever?
No, I never did. I didn't know people still play with dolls. Like, I thought Barbie went out of business when Toys R Us did.
I mean, we played with dolls. My sisters played with dolls, and so I played with dolls by extension.
Yeah.
And I have a friend. We know somebody had a guy on this podcast.
He was on the guest of the show.
He had over 1,000 Barbie dolls. He's still buying Barbie dolls.
Like, I used to buy the I Love Lucy collector Barbie dolls, but that's because I'm obsessed with Lucille Ball.
Oh, do you still have them?
I still do. They're in my trunk in my closet.
Oh. Are they in the package still?
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely. I never took them out.
You didn't try and hide her in the conga drum?
Nope, sure didn't.
So we've done quite a few shows about Barbie dolls. John Zanardi, he has over 1,000 Barbies in his home.
Jeez.
That he's been collecting since the age of 18.
I would never sleep there.
And you know, he has a lot of Barbie dolls.
He had rare ones too. He had a hard time getting a boyfriend. Like, there was one guy who came over. He's like, "You have this many Barbie dolls?" And they would just like walk out of the apartment and never see him again.
Just like on 40-Year-Old Virgin, and they walk. He had all those action figures, and he was trying to get a date, and they were like, "We have to get all this nerd shit out." And they cleared it out, and there was just like a chair.
So if you want to listen to John's podcast about the 1,000 Barbies, you can subscribe on Patreon. feastoffun.com/Patreon or become a plus member and listen to so many other podcasts, including with comedian Jeffrey J talking about where no Barbie has gone before.
Is he like trying to get a world record
for Barbies?
Yeah.
He just likes Barbies.
He just has always bought them. And I think he also views it at this point in time as part of his retirement package. Cause you know, he's like 50 some years old now and he's been collecting Barbies for 30 some years.
Okay,
so let me give you an idea. So, like when Disney, I'm sorry, not Disney, Mattel. I'm thinking of Trixie Mattel, but
yeah.
Mattel, the toy corporation, was struggling with Barbie dolls in the late '80s, and they were like, "Well, where are the young hip people hanging out? They're hanging out at raves." So they went to these raves, and which were mostly run and visited by gay men, and at that time period, even lesbians were wearing cock rings as decorations. So they came out with a doll called Earring Magic Ken, who clearly has a cock ring in the middle of his neck.
That's so necklace, funny, because Ken doesn't have a cock.
Well, exactly. Where's he going to put it? And, you know, like me and my friends, we bought it and we loved it. But at the same time, it, you know, caused quite a commotion and they pulled it off the shelves. To this date is the number one best-selling Barbie doll in history.
So I'm assuming, like, with 1,000 Barbie, he has, like, the ones that are, like, rare to find and, like, collectors.
He has all kinds of Barbies.
Okay.
Yeah, from even the, what is it, Julia, who's the African-American actress from Dynasty?
Diane Carroll
Barbie doll, from all kinds of rare ones there. He's photographed with the Diane Carroll Barbie doll.
Nice.
Who, over the course of time, her black hair turned red. So, so she looks like a redhead.
I want that to happen to me.
She looks like RuPaul and AJ and the Queen.
But, I want that to happen to me.
And so, you know, in terms of, like, the Barbie dolls, part of it is, like, that versioning, that the idea of creating diversity is also a really good moneymaker, because people are going to want to get the, you know, amputated leg Barbie, or the wheelchair Barbie, or the chemotherapy Barbie.
But I feel like that, which I get it, that's fine. But I feel like in order for that to really be popular, parents need to buy the Barbie that doesn't look like their kid. Because I feel like there's the people are like, my daughter is an amputee, so she wants a Barbie that looks like her, which is fine. I get that. Same thing with, like, I'm black. My black daughter wants a Barbie that is black with, like, natural hair. But I do feel like maybe, like, the cis white people need to buy the African-American Barbie for their white ass child to help them with this whole.
Oh, you want a black Barbie as the help?
No. But you know what I mean? It's like, oh, mommy, I want a Barbie to play with. Great, you're gonna get this one with vitiligo, so you can stop being such an asshole to the ones at your school that have it. You know what I mean? I feel like
that's not a bad idea, but at the same time, it makes a lot of money for Mattel when parents think that buying stuff is a way to addressing their rotten children's behavior.
That's true.
You know, shopping is never the solution.
Well, people want representation in their toys, so they want a toy that's going to be like them.
But you know what's a good solution is our t-shirt store at feastoffun.com/store. If you love the podcast and you want to see us make more shows, go to feastoffun.com/store and get yourself a Not Shaving Gives Me More Time for Misbehaving t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Available in all sizes. Even for babies.
Onesies? I think
extra small, right?
We don't have a baby sizes, but for people who are young at heart.
Yes. We have small through 3X is the ones that we screen at home, but you can also get different sizes.
And colors, on our Redbubble store as well. We're on Redbubbles. Mm-hmm. Bubbles.
So what are you a fan of the royals? Do you pay attention to Prince, you know, Harry and Meghan Markle and all that?
I've kind of been keeping my eye on them. I don't necessarily care about the royals because I'm not from England.
Mm-hmm. But they're like pop stars, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, they are. Aware of them, but you're not like, oh my God, what did, you know?
People who obsess over Princess the royals, Kate I'm like, said. Oh, why do you care?
I think for a lot of gay people, they're like, well, we love our queens, first of all, right?
Right.
But then, of course, you know, Princess Diana was very front and forward in the fight against AIDS. And, you know, and she loved her gay fashion designers. And so, Versace. You know, we have an affinity for her and her kids, I think.
Yeah, but I've been paying, I mean, I pay attention to Meghan and Harry. The other one and Kate.
Mm-hmm. Kate Middleton and William.
They're about as interesting as a pan of salt. I do not care about those two boring ass people.
Yeah, Princess Kate reminds me of somebody you have as a neighbor who is just like, oh, she's nice, but, you know, I'm busy.
I think she's a duchess.
The duchess.
She seems like someone who will invite you over, like, hey girls, I'm having a party at my house, and then you get over there and all she does is backhand compliment everybody. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't like that. I don't. She's
a backhand. You're not
a backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that looks so cute for you.
Well, that's a backhanded insult. You mean?
Whatever. Yeah. But, like, you know, that's, she seems, I don't.
But
and
what
then
about
he's
Meghan?
Bald and looks like a
backhanded
circumcised penis.
He was
like
so cute when he was younger, but you know, it's that Prince Charles caught up with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A backhanded compliment would be me trying to insult you by saying you're so smart, you know, and you're like, as an insult, and you're like, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a backhanded compliment.
A backhanded compliment is just like, oh, that looks really nice. It fits you snugly. You know, that's a backhanded comment.
Yeah, I think a backhanded comment, that's what I think.
So what's a backhanded insult then?
This is an insult.
Yeah.
Insults.
You're insulting somebody by complimenting them. But when the other way is that when you insult somebody and you're giving them a compliment. Like
that's like when you're saying, oh, you look so nice when you try. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
You look good for your age.
Yeah, so, bitch. That's what that sounds like. What?
And so,
Prince Harry and Meghan
and their Megxit, they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
The question is, what are these two going to do for money?
Listen, I think she just wanted to go back to Suits.
Yeah?
Which, I don't think anybody watched that show.
No, I don't think so either.
I get it. I understand, like, the leaving. Because the paparazzi in England is...
vicious.
Intense.
They killed Diana. They killed his mama. So, mm-hmm. I can understand that. He's not going to get on the crown, on the throne, unless mm-hmm. a whole slew of people die. Mm-hmm. So, why does he need to be there? It's not like the monarchy has power anymore.
Well, let's clarify something. Just because you're not the head of the monarchy does not mean you're not going to make money from it. And there's a lot of people in it.
No, but I mean,
they're
taking that part away. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. like, we don't need it anymore. So, what is he going to do for a real job? Work for E! News? I have no idea.
Well, the idea is, like, they want to, you know, they're probably thinking that they're going to get a book deal, right? Harry will get
a book deal.
And so they're saying a minimum $15 million, probably something for that. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, they're going to work for different charities, and so they're going to be getting a paycheck from that.
I'm telling you, she's going to go back to Suits.
You think? She go back to acting?
I think she wants to go back to acting.
The TV show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The TV show that no one really wants.
That's not even on the air anymore, is
Mm-mm.
it?
Mm-mm. No. It was only on the air for, like, 2 seasons anyway.
Yeah. I don't even think I knew anything about it.
She was in Hitch. No, that was Paula Pound. No, not.
Well, do you think that it upsets British people to. Their excuse they're saying is that British society is too racist and is not accepting of their relationship or of Meghan.
Yeah, they weren't accepting mm-hmm. of Meghan because she's American more than anything. And mm-hmm. then, with the paparazzi and everything, they're just like. They're. Doing backhanded compliments, mm-hmm. but also being mm-hmm. racist about it. They're like, oh, we're not racist. It's just that she's like, I just like.
There's a lot of articles out there. Like, this is how the press handled, you know, Prince William's wife, right?
Right.
And this is how they've handled Meghan. And the difference is amazing. Everything that Meghan's done, it's like they discount. They say it's tacky. They say it's terrible. And if Kate Middleton had done the same thing, they're just like, isn't this wonderful how she's so expressive and she does this and
right.
she's like that. So it's a much different world.
And then I think Meghan never had any intention of being a glorified wife. That's because Kate doesn't do things. Like, what is... Is she smart? I don't even know what her voice sounds like. Like,
why? I think she went to college, right?
She went to college to meet him.
Mm. She got one of the MRS school.
Degrees. She went to school to meet him.
Well, we did a podcast about how to marry a millionaire mm-hmm. with Justin Jedlicka, the human Ken doll. And he said it's really difficult to actually meet a millionaire because they're not going to be on social media. They're hard to get a hold of, and their personal assistants usually stop you in your tracks. So if you want to
you walk around looking like a thought.
So,
yeah.
So if you want to meet a wealthy person, you have to go to colleges with them or go on vacations where they hang out. So you're at the bar and, you know, in Monaco. How do you pronounce
Monaco?
That? Monaco.
Yeah.
If you're some expensive, fancy hotel or cruise or whatever, or beach resort, that's where you're going to meet those wealthy people.
See, that just seems like too much work. You got to go into debt to find somebody.
Well, you think Kate Middleton didn't go into debt?
No, her parents were rich because they owned party stores.
Yeah, her parents were rich.
Party stores? She's from Party City?
She's a Party City heiress kind of person. Yeah, exactly.
So that's how so, you know, they probably paid their way into college like, you know, you do. Mm-hmm. But it's not like she's, she had a...
I like the idea that if she's in a fight with somebody, they could just yell at her, go back to Party City.
But Vanity Fair, talking about what this couple's going to do is they think that they might do some kind of Netflix deal.
I don't want to see
that. Where else are they going to go? What else are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, one thing I've been noticing with some of these Rue Girls on social media mm-hmm. is that they're, you know, some of their fans are just the most rotten people, but part of it is like, you know, with LGBTQ celebrities, when you're in that reality TV show space and you're interacting with the public a lot like they do at these meet and greets and club events, it almost is like an open door to invite abuse from somebody. And you and me and most reasonable people, we're going to block them on social media if someone's coming after us.
But most people don't.
But the a lot of these queens, they kind of, there's a sadomasochistic relationship with it. And they, these people who are out to troll or fuck with them, they just think of the most hurtful, meanest thing they can do, and they go after them, and then they pretend like they're, you know, paying their bills. They're like, I donated a lot of money to your Kickstarter, or I bought all your merch, or I went to see your shows. And I'm like, those people are not going to be buying any of your stuff. Just block them.
I don't, that's one thing I'll never understand. These people who have keyboard courage and they get online or they troll people, like, do you just not have anything to do? Are you at the library all day because you can't afford to go anywhere else? You just sit on the computer and talk shit. Like, why do you give two hot dams? Again, I love Robert De Niro.
What is with you and Robert De Niro? I love him.
But he's like the only,
he likes black women. He's so the only like, one. I might have a chance.
But he's like the only celebrity that I truly give a fuck about.
Oh, really?
I don't give a. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to try.
You know he's short, right?
He's 5'8", and he's getting shorter because he's old. But like, he's, I'm not going to Tribeca Grill to find out if he's there. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of celebrities that I do really enjoy, and I think, like, I admire, and da-da-da-da. I don't give two fucking fucks what they did on Tuesday. And so these people who troll people, and they're like, I made you, I did this, get a life. Find anything to do. Learn a new board game. Play D&D. Go outside. Mow a lawn. Do something else. Because you truly, yeah. I don't,
write
I can't.
Write a manifesto. Start a revolution.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that you truly give two shits about what Lil Nas X did yesterday, that it you had to stay up all night and go to every single page online and talk shit about them, when I'm pretty sure you need to go to the store and get some more toilet paper. Like, just go do that. Who cares? And the people who read it, like the celebrities who read it and they obsess over it, I do not understand. I just don't get it. I did one tweet. I said something about Trump, and all these MAGA people like tried to jump on me, and I was just like, I don't care. I didn't even know until 2 days later that I was put in like Twitter jail.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I was. I didn't know because I wasn't reading.
Why
it
did they jail you?
I guess what
did
I
you call for his execution or something?
No, it was like right after those tornadoes in Dallas, and he was just in Dallas, and I had tweeted like, wherever Trump goes, trouble happens, and then like hashtag tornado, hashtag MAGA. And all these people are like, oh, now Trump is the reason for tornadoes and blah, blah, blah. And that's literally the only one I read because I didn't care enough to, I don't have notifications on anything. I don't care. I hate notifications. I don't like the little number popping up in the screen. I don't like seeing
so
it.
So I should call you if I see something online that you don't, so I'm like,
I don't care.
Let's talk about the married French gay couple that invited a 19-year-old over for some socializing, hanky-panky.
For a little slurp-slurp.
Yes. And then the teenager caught, he supposedly caught an STI from them. And then he says, I got an STI from you, so give me $5,000. They're just like,
doesn't that cost like $50
to go to the doctor, get it fixed. But I guess he, for whatever reason, he felt it was, you know, the burden of getting this STI that they should pay for it. And so they're just like, no. And he's just like, give me money, give me money. And so they, one day they just like knocked on the door. Somebody knocked on their door and four masked men wearing gloves tear gassed these guys asking for the money. And then finally these guys are just like, let's call the police on this guy.
Yikes.
People are so entitled.
Mm-hmm. And so right now there's a manhunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the app, but the police are actually searching for.
Wait,
them.
Is there an app called Manhunt? Yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Underway to find the participants in this hellish event.
Manhunt was the hookup before all the Grinders and the Scruffs and the Boy Ahoy. It was would do it on your computer.
Boy Ahoy, like the cookie.
Yeah.
Boy Ahoy, Grinders, Scruffs, Snapchat, BGC.
Planet Romeo?
Christian Mingle.
Planet Romeo. They use that like in Brazil and in like different parts of the world. It's very popular.
D-Listed was one. Before there was the blog, there was the dating app.
That was...
I thought that was
D-List. D-List.com, I
but
think.
But that
was
on the computer, not an app.
Yes, correct. Oh, yeah. So these are a lot
people
well, before
used to hook up on the computers. And so Manhunt, just, you know, eventually, I think they bought like Hornet because they were like, we can't compete because nobody's on a keyboard anymore.
Yeah.
Except people over the age of 50. And so it was just like, it was just all old men.
Before these before there was an app market or smartphones, a lot of these dating apps took place on websites. I know it sounds ridiculous to say that, but for some people, it's, you know.
Because they're born in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. I don't even remember people flirting with each other on MySpace.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, Facebook's not going to go away. And I'm like, you know, right now, two of the top four Democratic presidential candidates say they're going to split up the tech companies if they get elected. That's what Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. I think that probably Elizabeth Warren's going to go a little softer, but you know, it's going to be, that's why you can't really trust anything you see on social media, because these social media companies are trying to keep those candidates from becoming president.
I don't know how anyone trusts anything that they see on the internet. It came from the internet. Like,
yeah.
You can trust us here at Feast of Fun.
Yeah.
Well, why should we trust you?
Because we've been doing this for this is our 16th season.
But we're just talking. We're not sitting here going, I'm a medical expert who graduated from Harvard at the top of my class. So when I say that there's nothing wrong with coming in your eye, I mean it's healthy. Like,
just because you've been around a long time, does that make you trustworthy? I think what it is that like people are able to interact with us. And we're having a conversation about these things, and we're not like hiding behind some corporate firewall or whatever. You guys know who we are. You know what we stand for. We've been having a conversation with you guys for quite some time. And I think in terms of what the internet is about, like, you know, I saw this one article on a gay blog, a gay news blog that was talking about how great, Pete Buttigieg would be for president of the United States. And I was just kind of laughing because I was like, it was not presented as an opinion piece. It was presented as news.
Okay. Opinion pieces are now news. And that's bizarre to me. But it's like people get on the internet and there's like a box that pops up and they say, do you want to turn off your common sense? And then they go, yes. And then they go, is it okay that there's cookies on this site? And then they go, that's fine. And then they just dive in and they share the dumbest fucking shit when they should just be able to use their comprehension skills and go, this is an opinion and it's dumb.
But, you know, at the primaries, I think, and we have to step back a little bit and remember that, one, when you're sharing things on social media, sometimes you're like half asleep on your phone in your bed and you're kind of almost in an unconscious state of mind.
Yeah.
And so you got to be really careful. Am I really speaking from my heart, from my conscious mind? Or am I just like the cranky, unconscious, like, you know, fuck this person, blah, blah, blah. You know,
sharing articles from 2009 as if they just happened yesterday. Like, get this off.
And you know, I would say the top four candidates, which is Biden, Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Pete Buttigieg, are, to me, it's like I wouldn't be complaining if either any of them would be president.
I want to know who these people are that are voting for Biden. I have never in my life
older
met
people.
You don't know old black people who go to church a lot. That's the thing about it.
I guess, because I always hear this and I'm like, who are these people like Biden?
Somebody likes somebody somewhere.
That's true.
Well, it's, you know, it's
I did see that one person with an Amy Klobuchar pin.
They left Obama and it's kind of like he's still basking in the sunshine of Obama.
But it's just, first of all, I wish he would stop saying Obama's name every other sentence. We get it. You know him. Wonderful. Shut up. I feel like most people are just like, if there was ever a fist fight between presidents, I want to see Biden kick the shit out of Trump's ass.
Oh,
I think people want to see a literal fight with Joe Biden. That's why he's always
get a weapon.
Nope.
No weapons.
Just those guns known as biceps. That's why he's always challenging people to push-ups and being and getting all confrontational and blah, blah, blah.
I have to say, you know,
Grandpa
politics
Joe
aside,
very upset.
I hope I'm in as good shape and have as much hair on my head through the course of hair plugs when I'm Joe Biden's age.
I'm sure you can buy it just like he bought them teeth.
It's $10,000, honey. I've got 10 grand.
Go to Mexico. It's cheaper.
You got to start saving
Costa
now.
Costa Rica.
Can you do like a hair transplants vacation kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm sure you can.
Oh, yeah.
But then didn't Steve Carell do that between season 2 and season 3 of The Office? Remember, he was going bald. You could see it in season 1 of The Office. It was a little thin up there. And then all of a sudden, next season, it was like, look how thick and luxurious Steve Carell's hair is.
I'm just scared of going to Mexico to get hair transplants because I'll wind up looking like a marionette. You know, like if you go to the flea markets, the
marionette. How thick is his hair going to get?
Like Trixie Mattel actually says she models her makeup. The idea she got from a Mexican flea market marionette.
Oh,
because they paint them, you know, they just look really freaky and weird.
Okay.
Like the puppets in Sound of Music and the Lonely Goat Herd. You know?
Yeah.
Does that pop a picture in your head?
Yeah.
Spooky. I can see that. The eyes follow you across the room. And it's like, I want somebody who has a little bit of aesthetics. They also say that there's a limit to how much hair you can pull from the back of your head to the front. Because then you go bald in the back.
Yeah, but don't they have like, I guess like, I don't know how.
Because the hair don't grow back. You're just relocating it evenly across your head. You know?
I thought they just like put pieces of hair.
And I'm just, you know, at this point going to be buying a Barbie doll with that's bald to make myself feel better.
Yeah, I mean, I know with black guys, there's like these unit things that they see. And honestly, it's the most fascinating videos you've ever seen in your life. If you just like go to Google and just be like black men units, whatever, where it's like, say if they're already like balding in the middle or whatever, they like literally shave all of it off and they like draw where their hairline is. And then they'll get like that cheap Marley hair that people braid, like the little $4 a pack loose hair. Yeah. And then they like create like a tarp of glue on their head. And then they like glue that down and then they like pick that out and then they like, you know, cut it like normal and it looks fucking real.
Mm-hmm. It totally looks real. I've watched those videos.
So it's fascinating.
Well, you know the haircut that a lot of the guys have now, especially the gay guys, it's super short on the sides,
and
right?
And then
they have this very long, like, mop top on top.
The James Dean.
Yeah, that kind of like hair. So that often, too, is just, like, that's a carpet.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, hair that's, like, you know, been glued on top of the head.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I gotta say, a lot of times it looks just, most of the time, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell. And I'm just kind of like, my hair's a little thinning. Maybe I should just shave it and just get one of those things.
Don't do that. No. But the thing is, it's like, you almost have to wait to the point where you still have like enough hair on your own and then go do it, because it's weird that if everyone's been seeing you bald for all these years and then you just show up luxurious.
I have discovered that hair powder is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I discovered that because I was like, I watched a video on Facebook about an older woman. She's like, what an older woman needs to know about makeup. And she's just like, doing her makeup. She's like, and I find that hair powder is wonderful. And she's like putting the hair powder in and just whatever. I'm just like, oh, let me get some of that. And I was just like, wow, this really does work.
Yeah.
Oxytocin. Start wrapping up, Rachel, Rachel Hall.
That's me.
Now she's a star at Second City, soon to be on television one day.
I have a Cheez-It commercial out.
You do?
Mm-hmm. What? A Cheez-It?
You're eating crackers on television?
Cheez-It's commercial. Cheez-It snapped.
What do you do in the ad?
Is it on YouTube?
We're just eating Cheez-Its.
Is it on YouTube?
I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but if you want to like look at specifically for that ad, I know it's on iSpot.tv, which is like this thing where they just hold all the commercials and you can look it up.
It's on TV.
I finally saw it in the wild the other day when I was watching something on Hulu.
Is it a ka-ching commercial? It just popped in.
Yes, it is a ka-ching commercial.
My
mom was telling me it was on the Pro Bowl the other day. I was like, what? Really?
How does that work? So do they send you checks every time it airs an ad?
No, you just get one.
Oh, okay.
Your contract.
There's no residuals.
Well, if they renew that particular, because normally it's like this commercial is going to run for 6 months or a year, and here's all the venues, and then there's just like one big price for it all.
Okay.
When you went to the audition, did they make you eat a lot of crackers?
They did. I honestly did not think I was going to get it, and I kind of I don't want to say I didn't want it because I want every job I audition for.
Yeah.
But during that audition, that was right before I went back to Dallas to teach at the Thespians convention. So like the day of the audition.
The lesbian convention?
Thespian.
Oh. Sorry.
No. I fell for that one. I was like, do you have something you need to tell us?
The Texas Thespian convention.
Thespian.
But like, I went to that audition. And I remember kind of like just, you know how sometimes you just don't feel like doing something. And so I was kind of feeling like a kind of day. And so I went in and they wanted everyone to like wildly eat these Cheez-Its. Like
Cookie Monster kind of thing.
Like Cookie Monster, like throw them in the air, like just fucking lose your mind over how wonderful Cheez-Its are. And I remember I went into the audition and I was like, I don't want to do all that. I don't like Cheez-Its that much. Because there were people jumping on tables. Apparently, the lead girl in it, the two lead women, who we all had the same agent, they got it because in the audition, they're friends. One of them was eating it, and the other one was like spitting it into the mouth like a baby bird. Like they were doing.
Oh, nasty.
Like two girls, one cup?
But with your mouth. And so.
Well, that's what two girls, one cup is.
It was with their booty.
Yeah, she poops in a cup.
And then she vomited into her mouth.
Oh,
and then
she
feeds it into her mouth and she vomits it. And then, so they did a two girls, one cup with Cheez-Its.
I never saw that video. I don't want to see that video.
And that's how they got.
But that's how
mommy
crazy
and daddy
they
fell in
wanted
love.
Everything. Mm-hmm. But I knew that the callback was going to be the same day I was flying out. So I went to the original audition like, they're not going to call me in because I'm not going to be here. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got called back and I was like, why? I'm leaving that day. So like my flight was at like 2 something. It was like at 2. And then they tried to give me a call back. And I was, but like at 3. And I was like, oh, well, guess I'm not going. And then my agent asked, they were like, was there another time that you can come? And I was like, if I can go, but I have to leave by 12:30. And so I got there and I was like, again, they're not going to want to do this because the filming is technically right when I come back. So I won't be here for any fittings or anything mm-hmm. like that. And then they still cast me anyway.
Oh, that's great.
So I was like, oh,
did they
okay,
get
cool.
Did they cast the two girls, one cup
yes.
as well?
Mm-hmm.
So is this three girls, one box of crackers?
So they're like the two, I guess, quote unquote, like lead. One of them is like the tester. And then someone else is like, she's the one that starts the chaos that ensues. And the rest of us are just like in the focus.
Oh, I can't wait to see you munch down on some Cheez-Its.
Luckily, you can't see me too well. Like there's multiple versions of the commercial and they're coming out like staggered.
Oh,
so I don't, the ones that are out right now, it doesn't seem as crazy as it got because
you're a star, baby. You should be the front and center.
Filming that commercial when I like once we got to the okay, you guys were about to destroy some Cheez-Its. There were Cheez-Its everywhere, Cheez-Its and hairs, Cheez-Its and bras, Cheez-Its and like there was a moment where one of the people, Chuck, there also performing at Second City, was like on the table doing flash dance while everyone poured cheese. Like it was. Fucking Cheez-Its everywhere. And because I remember I walked in that day and they go, you guys are never going to want to eat Cheez-Its again. And we were like, oh,
have you had Cheez-Its since?
Nope. I got a big old bag.
Mission accomplished.
I was just like, there was so many Cheez-Its.
You're getting me hungry for
there was
Cheez-Its.
A pallet of like a 6 foot tall pallet of Cheez-Its that I'm pretty sure we went through.
Feast of Fun is made possible not because of Cheez-Its, but because of fabulous, fierce people just like you.
But it's fun. It was a fun time, and it's out. You guys, it's oh, I think it's on
Rachel,
my page.
I gotta remind people what they're to help us.
The show here.
We're yeah. on the show. We'll talk more about Cheez-Its when we're done recording. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time donation, or access our podcasts like the Barbie podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or on Patreon, where the Barbie podcast is being reposted.
And that's at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Now, as a new bonus feature, if you're a Plus subscriber, and you're the kind of person who's like, you know, you're a window shopper, and you're looking at podcasts, and you're like, you know, I want to listen to this one, but that one, you only get 30 last podcasts. As a Plus subscriber, you get the last 90 shows in your feed for you to pick at your disposal. And that's really fantastic. So if you feel like you missed a show, you feel like you don't, you know where that podcast that you wanted to listen to, and it's been taken out of circulation, you can become a Plus member. You can listen to any show, anytime, anywhere at feastoffun.com/plus. Hanny, Rachel Hall, where can people catch you?
Yeah, okay. More, you can always...
Besides the Cheez-Its commercial.
Besides the Cheez-Its commercial. You can find me on all the social medias on Rachel Hall is Funny. But what you all need to do is go to laughfactory.com/Chicago/shows because on February 6th, we are hosting the very funny Shantae Waynes, the comedian. She will be headlining our show with some awesome local comedians as well.
That's the butch door person in AJ and the Queen, right?
Yep, from AJ and the Queen. AJ and the Queen, you can see there. And
she's in the
also,
Latrice Royale episode.
Yep. And she's also on Tiffany Haddish's special, They Ready. There's mm-hmm. 6 episodes. She's episode number 6 in that as well. So don't go buy tickets to that. February 6th.
Don't?
Go buy.
Oh, go buy.
Go buy. See how I said go buy and then it was confusing because it sounded like don't, unlike Alison Morris who said nigger and then she said she didn't. That is a stumble. Buy tickets to Shantae Waynes February 6th at the Laugh Factory. I'll be there because I'm always there. Yeah. And that's a good one.
You hang out in the loft up there, right?
I hang out in the office in the Laugh Factory a lot.
Go give somebody a hug with consent. Or if you need a little love, adopt a dog or a cat. Oxytocin, often called the love hormone, a new study says is known to promote social bonding, and they administered oxytocin to men with autism, and it made them more open to close emotional bonds with others.
Nice.
Administering the hormone either through artificial ways or natural ways has positive long-term effects as well as speeds up healing.
We need to have an oxytocin orgy.
Also known as Molly. That sounds,
air, you know,
like I don't think it works that way. It's Molly. It's a hormone, pill? Which is, means that it needs to be injected into the body. It's not something you can drink.
So don't they have like pheromone lotion?
I guess. I'm not a doctor.
So you can literally rub it in.
Do booty bumps.
I put some oxytocin on my dick.
I want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yay. Okay. I love coming to this podcast. That's what she said.
Yes.
This Sunday, February 2nd, is Mark's birthday. Happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday to ya.
You're going
to
be turning 29, never 30.
I know. 29 again. Could you imagine?
Just remember, age is just a number you sometimes have to lie about.
I learned that lesson a long, long time ago.
Aww.
Back when I was 15, pretending to be 18.
Ooh.
Yeah. We got some beer and cigarettes.
Yeah. Yes. So, but next week it's exciting because it's going to be, you know, February is my birthday month. And next week we're going to be talking to Lady Bunny.
Ew.
Jake Knoll.
Yes, the comedian formerly known as Shannon Knoll.
And is Jiggly Caliente next week, too?
We're in talks about it.
We're in talks, yes. So maybe. Sometimes maybe. If you mention the people, then they end up not showing up.
Jiggly's
so
not maybe going to come.
Don't.
She wants to do it. She's excited about it. And we are having one of our most famous guests.
Me?
Is coming back on the podcast.
I am?
We're celebrating the 60th. It's not always about you, Rachel.
Oh, okay.
the last 16 years, we've had a lot of amazing guests on the show. A lot of artists, comedians, musicians, and entertainers. And we're going to be revisiting with where are they now? Some of these people who you haven't heard in a long, 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 long time. And we're going to get them back on the podcast to find out what's going on in their lives.
Are you
going to
have a seance? Or are they actually going to be here?
Well, some of them who died, we can't bring back to life like Victoria Lamar. But she lives on our forums and on our website, feastoffun.com/plus.
Are you good at calling up the dead? We could do a seance podcast.
Oh, I'm terrified of that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
I'm terrified. As fascinating as I find it, like voodoo, calling the dead, I'm terrified.
What scares you about it?
I'm going to get someone I don't want to talk to, or I'm actually... It's like gonna work. It's gonna actually work, and then I'm just gonna be like, "How do I? I don't want to Otome Brown nothing.
Back to rest.
I don't want
to
Otome Brown nothing."
But listen, you get to kiss Patrick Swayze.
I don't want to kiss Patrick Swayze. He was never my cup of tea.
No, he wasn't. Mm. Not even Dirty Dancing.
No,
that body. Mm. Did you see pictures of him as a high school football player?
Yeah.
I'll show you some photos. You'll be like, oh, okay.
Like, I mean, I get it.
I mean, he's no Robert De Niro, but...
I know. I mean, I get it, but, like, I don't care. Patrick Swayze never... He had good hair.
Mm-hmm. A nice mullet. Yeah. Thank you, Rachel.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.